Welcome to episode 910 of the 1010 Thrive podcast.
John the Baptist has been imprisoned in the fortress of Machaerus for a few months for running afoul of the ruler of Galilee and Perea. In a moment of desperation, the prisoner sends word to Jesus through one of his disciples.
You have returned, my friend. Tell me, have you seen the one who comes after me? What has he done? What has he said? Is he the one we have been waiting for? Or do we look for another?
Master, I have indeed seen him and witnessed his works. The man, Jesus of Nazareth, performs deeds of great power and speaks with authority unlike any other. He has healed the sick, given sight to the blind, and even the demons obey him. The poor have good news preached to them, Master.
The blind see and the lame walk. These are the signs of the one to come. Tell me more. How does he interact with the people?
With compassion and humility, Master. I saw a leper approach him, and instead of turning away, Jesus touched him, and immediately the leprosy was cleansed. There's talk everywhere about him. People say he dines with sinners and tax collectors, bringing hope not just with miracles, but with words of forgiveness and new life.
This aligns with the scriptures, the promises of old. The one who would bring healing and salvation not by sword or shield, but by love and truth. And what of the people? What do they say of him?
Many are calling him a prophet. Some even whisper that he might be the Messiah, the son of David we've awaited. His teachings are like none other. They speak of a kingdom not of this world, but of the heart, a kingdom of righteousness and peace.
A kingdom of the heart. Yes, this must be the one.
Meanwhile, in a palace, on a hilltop, in the region of Perea.
You look lovely tonight.
Thank you, Mother.
Your uncle is smitten by you.
I am sorry, Mother. I am not trying to entice him.
No need to apologize. He is a man. Most are weak around beautiful women.
I have noticed that, and I've also noticed a darkness about you. What troubles you?
You are perceptive. You get that from me. You know how this man, John the Baptist, has humiliated me, continually condemning my marriage to your uncle.
Yes, Mother, everyone whispers about it. His words sting. How can we silence him for good?
Tonight, during the feast, you will dance for Herod and his guests. He has never been able to deny you anything when he's pleased. It's your chance to ask for something in return, something he cannot refuse in front of his court.
What should I ask for, Mother? Jewels? Lands?
No, something far more valuable. You will ask for the head of the Baptist on a platter. His death is the only way to end his incessant criticisms of us.
His head? Mother, are you certain? That's a gruesome request.
Listen to me, it is the only way. Herod's pride will not allow him to decline a request made in front of his nobles and commanders. Once you charm him with your dance, he will grant you whatever you ask. You must be brave and precise.
I will do it, Mother. I will dance so that no man, not even the Tetrarch, can resist granting my wish.
This is for our future. For our security. John's voice drowns out our influence. His death will return our peace.
I will dance tonight, and we shall have our peace. John the Baptist will trouble us no more.
Very well, my child. Go, prepare yourself.
The great hall is lavishly decorated, with vibrant tapestries hanging from the walls, and long tables laden with sumptuous foods and fine wines. Torches and candles cast a warm glow over the gathered dignitaries, soldiers and courtiers, all dressed in their finest. The atmosphere is charged with anticipation and the murmur of conversation as guests enjoy the feast. Musicians play softly in the background. Herod Antipas, standing at the head of his table, raises his goblet for a toast.
Friends, nobles, commanders, tonight, we celebrate not only my birthday, but also our prosperity under Rome. Let us enjoy the evening with good wine and good company.
The guests cheer, clinking their goblets. Herod smiles and nods, clearly pleased with the evening.
Now, remember what we discussed. Your performance must captivate them all, especially Herod.
I'm ready, Mother.
As Salome makes her entrance into the grand banquet hall, Her presence draws every eye to her like moths to a flame. Her gown is a gossamer weave of the finest silk from the far reaches of the east, clinging to her form like a second skin. It shimmers with the hues of a desert sunset. Burnt oranges, deep reds, and vibrant pinks. Colors that seem to ignite with fire each time she moves. Around her waist, a belt of gold, thick and intricately crafted, cinches her gown. It is adorned with jewels, rubies, sapphires, and emeralds that sparkle intensely, each stone expertly chosen to enhance the fiery theme of her attire. The belt also features tiny golden bells. Her arms, neck, and even her hair are draped with chains of gold so fine they are like woven strands of light. These chains are interspersed with beads of amber and garnet, catching the light with every subtle turn, casting reflections on the walls of the hall as if the very stars have descended to witness her performance.
Oh, Salome, you look captivating this evening, my dear.
Thank you, Uncle.
Dance for me, Salome. Dance for me and grant me a birthday wish.
There are many courtiers here who can dance for the Tetrarch.
But none as beautiful as you.
Salome smiles, but she walks away. As the evening wears on, Herod continues to drink, and with each sip of wine, he looks more lasciviously at his niece.
Husband, are you enjoying the feast?
Yes, yes. But I have asked your daughter to dance for me, and she refuses.
Perhaps if you offered her something, some incentive, she might comply.
It's my birthday. Why should I give her anything?
Forgive me, your lord. I was just trying to be helpful.
Once again, Salome walks in front of Herod. Upon her head, she wears a diadem, delicate yet majestic, crafted from gold and encrusted with a cluster of diamonds at its center. It's designed to mimic the radiance of the moon.
Salome, please, you must dance. Dance for me and I will grant you whatever it is that you wish.
Salome stops, turns and looks at her uncle. She smiles and curtsies. She then motions to the director of music. As the musicians change their tune to a more rhythmic, enthralling melody, Salome steps forward into the center of the hall. All eyes turn to her as she begins her dance. Her movements are graceful yet full of intensity, drawing everyone into her performance. Herod, in particular, watches mesmerized, completely taken by Salome's charm and the beauty of her dance.
Wonderful, marvelous. Salome, my dear, you have truly outdone yourself this evening. Come, ask of me what you will, even up to half my kingdom, and it shall be yours.
Salome glances briefly at Herodias, who nods subtly in encouragement. Taking a deep breath, the young woman speaks with a feigned timidity that masks her true intent.
Oh, noble Tetrarch, if I have found favour in your eyes, and if it pleases you, give me but a modest reward.
What? What reward? What do you want, Salome?
Give me, your lord, on a silver charger, the head of John the Baptist.
The hall falls silent, the jovial atmosphere turning tense. Guests exchange shocked glances. Herod's face freezes, his pleasure replaced by a dawning horror at the realization of what she has asked.
You, are you certain, my child? This is a grave request.
Yes, my lord, it is what I desire.
Salome, you don't know what you're asking. Think of something else. I can give you wealth or power beyond your wildest imagination. Do not concern yourself with the fate of this mad prophet.
You told me that you would grant my wish.
Yes, up to the half of my kingdom, but be reasonable in your request.
I have made my request.
Herodias watches, a slight, satisfied smile crossing her lips as Herod struggles with the decision. Herod looks around the banquet hall as his guests stare at him. After a tense moment, the Tetrarch nods, his expression resigned.
It shall be done. Your wish is granted. Guard, bring the Baptist to me.
Though his life ended ignominiously, John the Baptist's legacy endures as a prophet of repentance and the forerunner of Christ, whose baptism and message paved the way for Jesus' ministry.